Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test. Pleasant good evening and happy Tuesday to you. Happy Tuesday to you. If it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get powered up with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. So welcome to Untapped Potential for today, Tuesday, March 21st. Yes, the month is quickly speeding by as expected. And we have, let's see, one more week in March before we are on to April, although it does not quite feel like March. If you're anywhere on the East Coast of the U.S. in particular, we have been experiencing some quite cold weather. As a matter of fact, on Sunday, the high was only 49 degrees. So 49 degrees was the high on Sunday, and we're expecting it to go as high as 80 degrees by the end of this week. So some quite turbulent temperatures that we have been experiencing this winter. But hopefully by next week, the last week of March, we are looking at some warming trends as we get ready for April. We get ready for Easter coming up pretty soon. So again, welcome to the program. It is always great to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important goals that we have set for ourselves. So this program is all about giving each other a reminder that we have set these goals, that we need to make a plan, that we need to execute a plan so that we can remain consistent with these life goals. So again, welcome to the program. If this is your first time joining us, welcome aboard. Make sure you set your reminder to be here with us each and every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. And if you're a regular listener, we want to thank you for always being a part of the program. As always, we have a great interview for you. We have a great song. We have a tip of the week. And then we talk about everything else that is going on with Push Past 10 and Untapped Potential, Roots Connections, as we continue to build those all important networks that will help to move Dominica forward. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time to stop by to be a part of the program. And as we continue, let us go ahead and get this program off and running with this song by Bob Marley, Coming In From the Cold. Do we ever need to come in from the cold? Because it's quite chilly out there, quite frankly. So I think that is an important song as we come in from the cold and we just enjoy a little bit of reggae music during this Lenten period. We try to not play too much heavy soca and all the other, high volume music. We like to just take it easy and enjoy it a little bit more subdued music during Lent. So I completely follow that Catholic Church tradition of not really engaging in high-strung music during the Lenten period. So let's enjoy this number from Bob Marley, Coming In From the Cold, and then stay tuned. Our interview this week will be a portion of a program I did on the importance of sports. So I think it is all too common that in Dominica, we have the mindset that sports is for leisure, sports is not something we take seriously. Can you imagine in 2023, we're still not taking sports as an industry to help to propel the careers of so many Dominicans. Yet we're seeing the proof. We're seeing the proof in folks like Athanas, who is doing tremendous work with West Indies cricket. He's actually now in South Africa playing with Cricket West Indies. We are seeing the potential in Theo Lafon. We're seeing the potential in so many of our young people who are excelling in various sports in Dominica. Yet we do not have a strategic plan for sports in Dominica. So we were joined by the likes of Dunstan Maggie Peters, who is a stalwart for sports and promoting sports as beyond leisure in Dominica. We also had a young lady, Miss Anisha Fontaine, who is part of the very first female West Indies cricket team. So we're very proud of her. And we were also joined by Mr. Ron Green, who is yet another formidable force in the area of sports. And our fourth guest was a Sheehan Shanna Robin, martial arts expert. I'm the owner of his own martial arts school. So we had a very engaging, very passionate discussion, and I hope that the authorities, the powers that be, will take note and create a strategic plan to engage Dominicans and to see the potential of sports as a career in Dominica. So again, let's enjoy this number from Bob Marley, and then you'll hear a portion of the interview that we did. It was a 2-hour interview, so of course we cannot play the entire thing for you here. But as always, we always ensure to bring you the rest of the interview on pushpast10.com, 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 and it will be our featured video. So any portion of the interview that you miss, the programming that you miss, you can be sure to check it out on pushpast10. And while you're there, don't forget to click on the missed past episodes for all the episodes of Untapped Potential you may have missed along the way. And you will definitely want to click on our YouTube link for all the videos of other programs we have done that you may be interested in checking out. So again, let's enjoy this number coming in from the call from Bob Marley, and then stay tuned for the rest of the program.
In this life,
oh,
Back in my mind and think about the rivalry between Harlem and Kensborough on a Sunday afternoon where everybody was talking. There were even calypsos made about that rivalry. So let us kind of look back and reminisce about the height of sports in Dominica. Where are we today in terms of sports, and where do we need to go to elevate our young people and provide opportunities? Because when we think of sports, sometimes we only think about the sportsmen and women, but as Dunstan will explain to us in a little while, it goes beyond that. We're looking at the administrators, we're looking at the coaches, we're looking at the sponsors, we're looking at the public who's involved. And again, I just want to take an opportunity to thank those who are representing here this evening, because one of the challenges that you will find with our ability to elevate sports in Dominica is those who are involved in the many different organizations, the different clubs, do not engage in the media. And I can tell you that not only because I watched the program where Dunstan was talking about it, but because I tried to engage them to come on this program, and unfortunately, I did not receive a positive response. So we have a lot to uncover. So let's come to you, Anisha, as we begin. Do you have recollection? I know you're kind of young, but do you recall the height of sports in Dominica and what that was like?
Yes, I recall that. And it was truly amazing to see that my country was all over the news, to be honest, at some point. And I felt like, okay, like Dominica is on the map. Are we going to get somewhere soon? Yeah, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for that. Professor? You're muted?
So, 1 second. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah, so I've been playing sports all of my life, from athletics to basketball, volleyball. And I can remember when I was growing up, I will say without any apology that sports has fallen in Dominica drastically. However, you know, I remember the days when I was growing up that sports was the hype. That was the getaway for all the young boys in the ghetto. That was our getaway. That's the area where we used to come. And I remember, for example, I can speak very clearly of athletics because I used to be in a club called Westmore Rangers from Marigot. And then you had Westmore Rangers and Olympians and Park and all the different. So you had Portsmouth, you had Granby, you had Roseau. And, you know, every weekend we would look for the revival, the champions of those villages, you know, and we would come to Roseau and we would take part in, you know, different activities. And it was a festive time. It was a time where, you know, every young person were looking forward to coming to the Windsor Park. You know, I was about 10, 11, 12 years old at the time. And I used to run away so I could go and do track and field. You know what I mean? And, you know, basketball was another big hype again. because I remember we still have some serious basketball right now. Maybe, my partner there can talk about more about the basketball. But I remember when I was growing up, man, we had some serious basketballers in Dominica. We had some serious footballers in Dominica. And where are these people now? That's the question. The question is, yes, there was a hype, but with all the hype, where are those people who were the champions of champions? Maggie knows some of them just fall on the wayside because they never got the support. And they never get that, that push, like how Jamaica pushed their athletes, like how Trinidad pushed their athletes. We never got that push because maybe our mindset wasn't there, But I definitely remember the hype. I definitely recall that. And I make reference to that a lot of times when I speak, the things that we used to have and some of the recommendations that I ask for as a ambassador in sports internationally for my country, Dominica, and sad but true, it never really came to, to fulfillment. Maybe one day it will. So that, yeah, but I definitely remember the hype,
Yeah, and I just remember a post you made, Professor, where you talked about asking for assistance up to 17 times to help to grow your martial arts business. So tell us about that.
Well, I was always a determined young man. I was a very determined person. And I wasn't fortunate to have my family backing behind me when I was coming up. And because I grew up in a very humble home, when I say humble, I mean very poor and unfortunate, sports was my getaway, running away and playing and distracting my mind from everything else that was going on around me. Sports was one of my ways. And I remember when my schools closed down, I had to stop athletics because I wasn't eating right and I couldn't perform because, back in the days when we have athletics in the morning, we'll drink our little carnation, eat a piece of cheese, to give us energy so we can run throughout the day. And I could not even afford that. So when I became a martial artist and I started, I knew I had a dream, I had an aspiration to help young people and to make a difference in my country. It was very hard coming up. And I can say that if I didn't have the determination to succeed, I would not have been where I am today. But I definitely remember speaking to some of the authorities. I don't really want to go too deep into it and call too
You
many
don't
names,
have to.
But I remember writing many letters and I was rejected every single time up to this day. That's one of the reasons why I am very independent and I do things independently because I get better results when I put my name and my energy behind certain things. They say sometimes when you don't get things being done, you have to do it yourself. And I'm one of the person that don't, I'm not going to sit by the wayside and ask what is happening. I'm going to make things happen. That's who I am as a person,
Right. Thank you for
So,
that.
yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. Danson, I want to come to you, but we're just having Mr. Ronald Green join in on the conversation. Ron, thank you for being here with us. Just introduce yourself quickly, and just to catch you up a little bit, we're talking about the height of sports in Dominica, what that looks like, and also the opportunities it created for many Dominicans. And Facebook, I want you to also to help us. And if anybody's calling in, just remind us of some of the sports greats that we saw in Dominica and the opportunities that these men and women received from being involved in the field of sports. So, Ron, thank you for being here. Just introduce yourself and catch us up.
Well, thank you. Let me say good night to everyone in the studio and everyone listening. It's good to be here. I will certainly look forward to participating, in the conversation. From my perspective, I've been a sportsman pretty much all my life. Born in Roseau, but I migrated to the States as a young teenager. And got involved in track and field from the beginning. And it was that, in fact, allowed me to go to university. So, as an individual, it is sports that allowed me to achieve certain heights. And I want to start by complimenting all of those that in Dominica who have over the years achieved the heights that in track and field, in basketball, in football, in cricket. because they have certainly not only done well for themselves in terms of the heights they achieved, but they have brought great pride to Dominicans for their achievements. I mean, there are a number of names that come to mind, but once I start naming names, I'm bound to forget one or two. I mean, Brother Romain comes to mind, the triple jumper that did so well in the triple jump in track and field. I remember in the Olympics of 1996, he performed, and you know, I was one of those that was fortunate at the time to have witnessed his performance. But there are many, many others in a range of sports. So I'm happy to be on the program, and I look forward to the discussion and to participating.
Yes, and thank you for being here. Dunstan, let me come over to you. The height of sports, and as we already see Ron mention, it provided him the opportunity to go to university. So we can already check that one off as an accomplishment. But let's come to you as you tell us about the heights of sports in Dominica and the opportunities it provided for our athletes.
Yeah, and I'd like to start by bigging up Mr. Ron Green, for he's still right now involved in sports in a big way with the Southeast. He always is on the sideline with the Southeast team doing what all his, you know, he can, you know, to support them. And also being the, for me, he's the only real true minister of sports we have ever had in all 40 plus years of independence. He's the only one who was a true minister of sports. All sporting event, he would be there in the park, in the lineup, regional events, when he was, you know, top ranking in the 90s, he would be there, you know. He wouldn't have to, he'd send nobody to represent him or something. He always present. You know, maybe miss one or two, but you know what I mean? So big up to Mr. Ron Green. And yeah, you know, I'm a 70s, born in the 70s, you know. So the 80s and the 90s, and when I get to, you know, live in Newtown, in the height of Harlem, the Bombers, and the Windsor Park, you know. I tell the youths and them that I train, what you all seen on TV, we saw it live in front of us in the Windsor Park. You know what I mean? All the things, the moves you see, the messy things, the kind of crowd you see on the TV, we had that in the park. The wall was lined up with people all on the pavilion and with not lights. So in the hot sun, I still ask myself right now, all the guys and them were sitting on the roof of the pavilion for a 4 o'clock game, hot sun, and the roof of the pavilion, loaded with people, the walls lined up. You had to come early and see if you can get a little squeeze. Baba sit at a section, my grammar school there. You know what I mean? The whole wall lined up. You know, stands breaking full to capacity in the Windsor Park. That's how it was. And you would be all the way between Bath Road walking to a game. And if a ball just passed, whiz over the goal post, the whole crowd, woo, you would feel that when you're walking and start to walk fast. Like you don't want to miss another, you know, a goal. So back then, you know, and the things I see, like we see where Dominica is, we play, let's say, football. You see us chasing the ball. It used to be the other way around, where when we play in Antigua and all them teams there, it's them chasing the ball and we knocking the ball. Echo, Solka, you know, Shane Marshall and them guys, you know, and in the basketball, DD and all these guys, you know. So we were there, you know, and instead we elevate, and right now with things evolving, and you know, we expect it to be building on that, but somehow at some point we dropped and we just going steady downhill. Mm-hmm. And we really have to assess it and see what went wrong where, so we can start to fix it, and you know, which we are in the process of, but you know, we have to come together to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it just brings back memories of the days of sports days at the high school level with Lyman Spoon and Needle and Fred and Sack Race and the rivalry between the schools that we don't really see right now. But before we talk about where we are right now, you know, we have to keep in mind that the reason we do these programs is because we see the promise. We see the promise in young Ajani Kasimi, who just came back from Guadeloupe and won his cycling race. We see the hope in Alec Athanas, who I wanted to have on the program, but he's all the way in South Africa playing with the West Indies team, Tia Lafont. And we are happy to have one of our promising young people with us today, Miss Anisha Fontaine. So Anisha, just kind of tell us about your journey with women's cricket and the history of women's cricket and how you got involved and what you have accomplished to this day. Because I think one of the things that we have to do is we have to showcase the talent and showcase the accomplishment of those in the area of sports to inspire other young people to pursue that path. So Anisha, tell us about your journey.
Okay, so I began playing cricket at a very young age, to be very honest. In my backyard is a playing field, so they would have a lot of cricketing events. And I not only play cricket, I play volleyball as well. I played for Dominica as well on the inter-school team and a little football. And then I began my cricket career. I started training at the age of 12. And my uncle was the one who was encouraging me, even my mother as well, because we all play cricket in our family. So it like runs in my blood. So I began training. At the age of 12, and then I made Dominica team at 15. It has been a long journey, to be very honest, a lot of ups and downs. I started last year with Windwards on the 19 team as the wicketkeeper, and then from there I went to training camps, and then I went to other camps, and then got selected afterwards, but wasn't selected to go to India because I have no idea the reason why. I think it's just for me to reflect on what I did wrong. So it kind of discouraged me a lot, but I kept working. And then I got a call last year, December, to come to Antigua for a training camp. And I got selected to be the wicketkeeper batsman for that team. The history of cricket in the women's cricket in the Caribbean is currently on a rise, as you may know, that women are participating more in the sport. As you know, there's women's CPL now, which I am trying to get myself into. And there's now internationally women's IPL, which is the India Premier League. And you know, more women are involved. There are also more coaches involved, women coaches, and more leagues as well, especially for me. This year, I'm so booked. I have another tournaments coming up month after month, which is the regionals, senior regionals. There's an under-19 camp I have to attend to Antigua next week, which is, I believe, is a good opportunity for me and the other young cricketers trying to use cricket as a professional career. It has been a very challenging road for me as well, to be honest, as we come from Dominica and I have a lack of infrastructure and some lack of coaching experience because I am a wicketkeeper and we need a wicketkeeping specialist, so that comes in very handy. And I didn't really have that. And my personal coach, Mr. Sam Kernan, which is the one helping me right now, and Abini Sersha, which is my teammate as well, saying goodnight to her. So we worked really hard over the past and we made that team in less than a year. So it was really a lot for me, especially, and that's a big dream come true. And not only that, because I'm working to get on the senior team as well. And cricket in Dominica also, the history, you know that before. Pearl Etienne was also involved on the West Indies team and they actually won the World Cup in 2011 and in 2016. So that was really, and I dreamed of being on a West Indies team and actually winning a World Cup. And here I am on West Indies under-19, the first ever under-19 team. So it has says a lot about women's cricket in Dominica. As you know, in April now, we have our regional tournament coming up and Dominica team. We're going to start training really soon and we hope that we will get the best results. I believe that we will and hopefully cricket will be on a rise in Dominica. Not only cricket, but other sports as well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and congratulations on your accomplishments today as well as Miss Seja. And brothers and sisters, this is why we are fighting this battle, because we see the promise. We have an example right here before us of a young lady who has the potential to make women's cricket her career. So we have to support that, and we have to figure out how do we reproduce opportunities for those who are interested in making sports a career. So that is what we are talking about. If you tuned in late, we are talking about embracing opportunities in sports so that more of our young men and women, and a lot of our young men, can potentially get off the block that we complain about so many times and find a career that is not academic based, because not everybody's academically inclined. But Ron, let me come to you. In your opinion, the status of sports in Dominica today? You're muted.
Thank you. We have a long way to go. Maggie was outlining the achievements and the heights of the 80s. I recall being the president of the Dominica Amateur Basketball Association in the 80s and the days of Hola and Plastic and all the talent that we had in basketball. So there's a lot of talent. Talent is abundant in our country. Anisha is an example of a young talent coming up. Mm-hmm. But I would say that at present, we are going through difficult times in terms of achieving the heights that we're capable of achieving. I think it's because all the various factors and components that have to come together have not been able to come together to create the environment that will allow the talent to be cultivated and to flourish. Fortunately, Anisha has had the willpower and the right environment to keep her encouraged and keep her working, but that has not been able to happen in enough corners of our country. It's not a question of throwing any blame, but it does take a combination of government, it takes a combination of private sector, the combination of all the regional and national bodies in sports working together to ensure that all the pieces are in place so that the talent can, in fact, come to the heights that it's capable of coming. And I don't think we have that right now. I think we have slipped in the last decade or two, and we have to probably, that's a special session to identify the particular slippages that have occurred in the last decade or two, and to identify where we have to push to be able to ensure. I mean, right now in football, I've been fortunate to be working the last two decades in the Southeast with, as Maggie pointed out, the Southeast Football Club as manager. And we are champions of Dominica now, but it has been a long slog. It took many years of work to get to the heights that we have now. And it's a combination of the fan support, the board, the players, the coaches. But still, there are a lot of components that were not there. You know, sometimes at village level, you can achieve more because of the tightness of the community and the push that you get from the community. So I think it's going to take, I don't know if we can do it tonight, if we can begin to explore what are the factors that have slipped. Mm-hmm. And certainly facilities have not blossomed or be developed to the heights that they could have been developed in the last couple of decades. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a national stadium, but beyond that, what do we have? Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we absolutely. So that is what we're exploring this evening. We're exploring the strategic plan for how do we elevate sports in Dominica. And you're absolutely correct that a lot of it has to do with the facility. And that is one of the things that Anisha mentioned in terms of the infrastructure, not having adequate infrastructure. And I think I just want to get us to the point where we're not seeing young people like Anisha and Alec Athanas, who have to dig so deep to stay motivated despite the external challenges that they face to pursue a career in sports. Because, for example, I was listening to one program and the speaker was talking about how I think Alec Athanas had to traverse from Grand Bay to Portsmouth for training. And that shouldn't be the case. We should have facilities in the south and the north of the island at the minimum to facilitate those who are interested in sports. But Professor, let me come to you. Your views on the current status of sports in Dominica. And then we're going to start talking about where do we go from here? How do we elevate? What is needed in training? Anisha mentioned coaching. What is needed and how we can pull those resources together so that we can provide these opportunities, these much needed opportunities for our young men and women to excel in sports. Professor?
I'm smiling because I don't know if you want me to be very blunt and honest or if you want me to be impeccable with my words.
Be honest.
Because if I have to give my real opinion of sports, like, for example, I did sports my whole life. And then I started teaching at the Dominica Grammar School in 2004, 2005. And I was a sports teacher. I taught cricket. I taught athletics, basketball, and so on. And I moved on to Grand Bay. And then I move on to ITSS. Then I move on to Goodwill Secondary School before I resign. And I can say that we have a lot of talent. Seeing that I have, and I've dealt with the Portsmouth Secondary School on a wide range, the Adventist Secondary School. At one point, they were very dominant in the athletics with Park down there. And I can say that without a doubt that we have a lot of raw talents in Dominica. And the unfortunate situation, as Mr. Ron Green said, is that it has been dropping for the last 2 decades. I would say the last 3 to 4 decades, or maybe even 5 decades, probably. And yes, we do have a few young persons who slipped through and made it through university through sports. But what is the percentage in relation to the amount of young men and women who are actually taking part in sports? Mm-hmm. So maybe out of 100, maybe just 1 or 2 every 5 years. And that is not, for me, that's not a very good percentage in terms of the representation of our young men and women. So the facilities, I remember 2 decades ago, and every time I speak, I've always been asking for an indoor facility. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm a martial artist. I'm an international martial artist. And I want to host an international karate tournament. And there's nowhere to bring people, like 5, 6, 7, 8 countries to with over 5,000 competitors. There's nowhere in Dominica for me to be able to host such an event as we speak. So, yes, as Mr. Green said, we have a national stadium, but where do we go from there? If there's rain, then there's nothing that can happen. So I believe that if we pay attention to the infrastructure and we put it in place, for example, you have a closed dome and you can do basketball, volleyball, lawn tennis, ping pong, all of those indoor sports, then we don't have to worry about the weather. Because then we're going to have sports year-round. You know what I mean? We don't have to go massack and sit down under a little galvanized. And when it's raining, people wetting and they have to run and shelter across the streets. If you have an indoor facility where people can be comfortable, and people might say, but what is the maintenance? People would be more than happy to pay $5, $10, $15 to come and watch their favorite sports team, you know, compete against another team. And I believe that is one of the things that will keep the young people off the streets, is having an infrastructure where we can have sports year-round, in and out of seasons. And that is my opinion. Has that ever happened? No. Have we suggested those things? Yes. And do people listen to us young people? Not really. You understand? And some people are just there for their selfish gains. You know, we have a few generals, you know, like I call Mr. Ron Green, those kind of guys, Maggie, these guys are generals. These guys are there in and out of season to help young people, you know, to not demotivate them, but to help them to grow and push them up. But a lot of young people, like, for example, look at Trinidad. Let's look at Jamaica. Look at Grenada. Okay. I can say I was a boxer for about 5 to 6 years for Dominica. But where did it take me? I maybe go to one or two competition and that was it. There was no real support, no real coaching, no real insurance, no real stipend. So at the end of the day, you have a guy who wants to pursue a career in boxing. And then guess what? He has to go work at Whit Church and lift heavy boxes all day long and then go train for 2 hours. Do you think he's going to be on his A game? He's not really going to be on his A game. You know, Maggie shaking his head because we're talking truth to power. If we want to be real, let's be real. So there should be a system in place, which I know there's things for the system to be in place, but maybe the representatives doesn't care that much, mm-hmm. You know? And I'm trying to be very general with my, because I don't want to offend anyone, so I'm trying to be very general with how I'm speaking right now, but that is the sad situation. So now what you happened with that promising athlete, he's going to lose hope. He's like, boy, that's a waste of time. He's going to drop the drugs because he's turning over more money doing the drugs than actually going and train and release his tension. He's frustrated. So now he's mad at everybody and everything. So now you wonder why crime is increasing. Believe it or not, sports do help to curb crime.
Absolutely.
On every level. You know what I mean? I can tell you, I wasn't an easy kid coming up. And because of sports, martial arts, boxing, track and field, I was able to change my life around. And that's why I dedicate my life to this, because I know the benefit that sports have on, especially poor children, because that's our escape. That's the escape that poor children going to have to take their mind off not having food. We used to go and play for 5, 6, 8 hours with no food in our stomach, and we still had energy. Now you got guys sitting on the blocks, frustrated, anxiety. So there's a lot of trickling down. And I think, you know, as Mr. Ron Green said, we have to come together collectively in order to change that. And it has to start, one, with the proper infrastructure. We are asking for money for all kind of stuff, but we don't put the money in there. The other countries, and I like to compare ourselves to the other countries, especially the Caribbean other countries like Grenada, Trinidad, Jamaica. Look at the athletes. They take this thing seriously. That's the reason why they are dominating the sports world. And we have raw athletes. Oh, look at the wrong Dominica. It's bush. It's oxygen like crazy. So we are naturally strong. We are naturally built for this. But if we don't have the correct push, we don't have the correct help, then we're just going to give up. And like this young lady, I remember seeing her coming up, you know, and I don't know if she remember me, but I remember her very clear. And she has a very determined mind. She hardly miss a training. She'll always be there. She's doing what she got to do. But how many people have that mindset? How many people have that motivation to wait 10, 15 years to say, you know what, it will happen? Not many. You know what I mean? And the generation are getting weaker by the minute. If you look around society and you look at, Maggie can tell you as a basketball coach, the way we used to train back in the days, the guys who come in and train now, they're not actually that. They can't take that training. They can't. So we are being faced with so many obstacles. It's too many to mention. But I think we need to come together collectively, like we are doing right now, having people from different genres in the different sports coming together. You know, I could say, you know what, I'm in Canada to hell with Dominica and go do what I do best and don't worry. But hey, this is my roots. This is where I came from. And I always remember the best thing any athlete can do is to stay humble and return to help. This is what Usain Bolt is doing in Jamaica right now. He's doing foundations. He's doing different things to help the other Jamaican athletes to without being selfish and to open ways and doors, because the more Jamaicans that go out there, the more Jamaica is on the map. So the same thing for Dominica. The more Dominicans that are out there, the more we put Dominica on the map and we represent and people get to know who we are. You know what I mean? So big up to this young lady who is there right now, and continue doing what you're doing, and all the other young persons who are listening. I know it's rough and I know it's tough, but you know, let's hope that this discussion from tonight can spark in the right direction and create a flame of development.
Yeah,
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. Very well said. And Facebook, I see all the comments coming in, so keep them coming. I am coming to you in a little while. But Dunstan, let me come over to you. So we are unpacking a lot this evening. And of course, we are going to create a strategic plan. So we have a lot more to discuss as we talk about embracing sports as career opportunities for our Dominican youth. And we are already seeing, Dunstan, the need for investment, the need for infrastructure. And, you know, I always like to have a balanced conversation. So I want to talk about the fact that we recently saw an indoor facility built in Maho for sports. But Dunstan, is that enough of an investment? What is the current state of sports in Dominica, Dunstan?
Well, to speak to the facility first, as Mr. Rundgren said, you know, and the rest of us, is a long discussion tonight, you know. It's just the beginning. We can touch, you know. We've been checking on it. But I make a short list there. But with the facility, we should have that long time. We should have like 4 or 5 of that in the place. Yeah. North, South, East, and West supposed to have that. But we're grateful for it still, and we want to build on it. We want to, you know. But trust me, between me and you, like, you know, come on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me just our short list there quick, you know. First thing is a problem I have, you know, recognized is that we keep replacing one thing with another and ending up with one thing instead of having multiple things. The Windsor Park is one of them. The Windsor Park was that's a shrine where things was happening, and then we tear down the Windsor Park to replace it with the Windsor Park. When we could have just enhanced the Windsor Park, and that stadium we built there, we could have built it somewhere else. So we would have the Windsor Park and the stadium somewhere, Warner or Granby or somewhere. So we would have two right now, but we still end up with one. And the one we end up with now, we have to have it enclosed, and so now Roseau, all the clubs in Roseau have no place to go and recreate and train, because right now we cannot go in. It's not a wash your foot and come inside, they say. So it's a stadium, so it have to be for, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. So where are you sending the Roseau? The Roseau had Blue Stars and Kingsborough and, you know, Dame Central, so many football clubs and basketball, and then that Windsor Park is a major blow, you know what I mean? And look again, we're still making that same mistake again, Stock Farm. Build a facility, Stock Farm, and then we go and decide we're going to put an artificial surface on it, and it already had a surface. Instead, we try to, you know, manage the surface to fix it up and put that artificial surface on somewhere else. We would have two. We would have Stock Farm with its surface and an artificial surface, maybe Portersville, Savannah or something. So we would have two. So we keep replacing things with the other, and we're not having the continuity, no growth. You know what I mean? Next thing is the media. The media back then used to play a major role. You knew the athletes. You know, you could go by Mr. Ken when you go in there, you see how much newspaper clipping, big center pages. The Chronicle had big pages, articles of Ronnie Gustav, you know, Earl White, all these guys, you know, Derek Alexander, all these guys. So you knew these people, you see them, you want to go in the park, because if you go and watch a team, you want to know who's on the team. So you know where you're going to check the team, because you have that player, you see him, you know what he can do, so you want to go and see him perform against another team. You understand? So the media is a major thing, because it's marketing, just like a product. If you have a product, it's a great product, but if nobody knows about it, then it's nothing. It makes no sense, you check? So that's where DA Sports Vibes and, you know, Wang and myself, Albert Tit, you know, we're pushing it from other guys coming on board, and it's you know, the thing about it is, people like to see something start rolling before you come on board. So you have to be willing. You have to be willing to stick with it, and you know, keep pushing until people see, and then they come on board. So slow but sure, we're getting there. But DA Sports Vibes is doing a good job right now, and we just look urging other people to come on board to help us, because media is major key in anything in the world, and sports is no exception. And I mean, and like we said, this structure. For us to get that, you know, make it happen by, like, Anisha is doing it. Like you say, she's self-determined and stuff like that. But we need to have things in place that will make it more efficient, you know. Like, you want to be that a cricketer, a professional cricketer, professional, whatever sport, there needs to be a sports academy where you don't want to be, you know, just be a doctor or something. That's why I want to be a professional athlete. You should have an avenue there where, you know, you can do that because there's only a big committee that governs all the different sports. So therefore, these committees and these associations, we should have, you know, and St. Lucia right there, like Shian is saying, we like to compare. It's good to compare. And St. Lucia Dominica is about right away. And St. Lucia has a sports academy.
And speaking of St. Lucia, Danson, I don't mean to cut you off, but in terms of investments, I remember in one of your programs, you talk about St. Lucia sending football players to Germany.
Definitely.
So that shows you an island that is investing in the potential of its athletes.
Exactly. And that is where St. Lucia is who reached out to us through myself, where we get after a long while to get some students, athletes to get scholarships through the Free Kick Foundation. And so they saw with the same media, I'm talking about social media, I've been pushing the athletes, promoting the pictures and videos on my page. And the guy who is the head of the Free Kick Foundation sees that and he reached out to me and say, hey, would you like to bring some of your athletes to try out in our showcase? And I say, well, tell me about it. And he tell me, and boom. And we go over there with 7 athletes and 6 of them get scholarships.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Just been listening to a portion of a program that we did on the importance of recognizing sports as a career in Dominica with Dunstan Maggie Peters, Sheehan Shanna Robbins, Ron Green, and Miss Anisha Fontaine. And like I mentioned before, the rest of the interview will be on pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com for the rest of the interview. So as we continue along here in the program, we want to talk about our tip for the week. And with so much change going on in the world, so much that seems to be out of our control, I wanted to bring you this particular piece of information. It is from theatlantic.com. So again, theatlantic.com is the name of the website. And the name of the article is When You Can't Change the World, Change Your Feelings. So again, because we have so much uncertainty and so much that is out of our control these days, we want to bring you this interview, When You Can't Change the World, Change Your Feelings, from The Atlantic. And it begins by saying, everyone, even the most privileged among us, has circumstances that would like that. Let's take that from the top. Everyone, even the most privileged among us, has circumstances they would like to change in their life. As the early 6th century Roman philosopher Boethius put it, one has abundant riches, but is shamed by his ignoble birth. Another is conspicuous for his nobility, but through the embarrassment of poverty would prefer to be obscure. A third, richly endowed with both, laments the loneliness of an unwedded life. Think about your own life and something causing you stress, anxiety, or sadness. For example, maybe you're struggling to find your job or career interesting and fulfilling, or maybe you aren't getting much out of your friendships and feel lonely. How might you improve the situation? Your answer might be, I should move, get a new job, meet new people. In other words, you should change the outside world to make it better for you. Not so easy though, is it? Moving, changing jobs, and making an entirely new set of friends might be highly impractical at this point in your life. And in any case, you might suspect that you will take your problems with you because, well, you can't move away from you. Very good. I'm going to let you in on a secret that can help. Between the conditions around you and your response to them is a space. In this space, you have freedom. You can choose to try remodeling the world, or you can start by changing your reaction to it. Sometimes changing your circumstances is difficult, but absolutely necessary, such as in the case of abuse or violence. And sometimes changing your circumstances is fairly easy. If you're lethargic every morning, start going to bed earlier. But in the gray areas in between, fighting against reality can be impossible or incredibly inefficient. Maybe you have been diagnosed with a chronic illness for which there are no promising treatment options. Perhaps your romantic partner has left you against your wishes and cannot be persuaded otherwise. Maybe you have a job you like, but a manager you don't, and no one will give you a new boss. So this is some very interesting, very informative information that you would want to check out. Again, it goes into taking notice of your feelings. It talks about the importance of accepting your feelings. It also talks about lowering your expectations, and it goes into as well, give more. So you want to look at this, especially if you're in a circumstance, a situation where you don't have control, there's not much you can do to change the situation. You want to take a look at this article called When You Can Change the World, Change Your Feelings, from theatlantic.com. So thank you. Thank you again for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. This is our power up session every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time right here on TDN Radio. So I look forward to being with you next week at the same time as we come back, to get powered up and energized for the week ahead and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set for ourselves. So as always, we have a lot going on behind the scenes in terms of what we're doing to build those networks for Dominica. We have an important collaboration going on with Diaspora for Good, which is a group of us Dominicans, about four of us, who have come together to create a network where we can recommend people in various fields. So if maybe you're looking for a website designer, maybe you're looking for an accountant, you're looking for a plumber, you're looking for a contractor, we want to support our own. So we want to ensure that we're supporting our own. So the name of the website will be diasporaforgood.com, and we are currently working on it. You can expect to see many of the interviews we first did for Untapped Potential, featuring prominent influencer, island influencers. We're calling them out of Dominica, people who came from humble beginnings and were able to achieve tremendous success. So you can expect to see their stories on Diaspora for Good. And then you can also expect to be connected to a network of Dominicans in various fields, various sectors of the economy, as we continue to build our network of Dominicans promoting Dominica. So very exciting. Again, we have the Be More Mentorship Program going on with Chances, where they are mentoring the kids who are less fortunate, who, that is their home. They don't have any other homes to go to, so they live at Chances. So we're ensuring that they have the skills that they need when they are ready to go out into the world. So we have quite a few collaborations going on, so we are very excited. It seems like every week someone else is reaching out with an important collaboration of what we can do to move our people and our country forward. We have some ebooks coming up. We have four other universities that we are now connected with that are going to help us to get educational opportunities for Dominica. So, I am truly grateful. I am very grateful for the opportunity to have to be able to help to move our people and our country forward. So, of course, if you want to be a part of the movement, I always enjoy hearing from you. You can email me at pushpast10@gmail.com, pushpast10@gmail.com, or you can simply follow us on social media, especially Facebook. We are Push Past 10 Media on Facebook, and you can follow us. And I always say it, you know, if you don't know any other way to help, simply sharing the information that we post on Facebook is a tremendous help, because growing our audience gives us more leverage to be able to do the work that we're doing. So I want to again thank everyone who continues to reach out and in a positive way, continues to reach out to talk about what we can do to move our people and our island and our region forward. So again, I want to thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential. And as we always say at the end of the program, remember that your life story is your strength. The challenges you faced in the past have prepared you for the challenges you face today. So remember to tap in to your potential every day. Remember to stay strong, stay positive, stay active, and stay engaged until we meet again right back here next week, Tuesday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. You have yourself a productive day.